WNYC, 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
The Church of St. Ignatius Loyola supports WNYC and presents an organ recital in its series Sacred Music in a Sacred Space, Wednesday, April 15th at 7:30. Information, smss.org. WNYC is giving away a pair of tickets for the concert to the first caller to reach us at 212-433-9692. But please note, if you've won anything from WNYC in the past 30 days, you're not eligible for these tickets. Passover begins at sundown tonight, and people who plan to really observe the holiday have, following a law that appears several times in the Bible, cleaned their houses of all chumetz, the foods that are not kosher for Passover. No bread, only matzah can be eaten during the 8 days of the holiday. For many people, that means buying many items from the two surviving American producers of kosher products, Manischewitz and Streitz. Streitz is the oldest matzah baker in the country, located on the Lower East Side of Manhattan in a factory on Rivington Street that's been in operation since 1925. And joining me now is Aaron Gross, the company's co-owner. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So Streitz has been a family business since it opened its first matzah factory in 1916. You're the fifth generation?
I'm the fifth generation. Aaron Streitz was my great-great-grandfather.
It's kind of hard. Yeah, go ahead.
He started right down the street, actually, from where we are now on Pitt Street. We moved to Rivington Street back in 25, but I think he started in 1916 right down the road.
It's really hard to keep family businesses going in with the family controlling it. There's one other place in the Lower East Side, Russ and Daughters,
right,
which has passed on to, I think, the fourth generation, and everybody was surprised that it went that long. It really means that everybody, the next generation doesn't decide to go to law school or doctors?
It's amazing we made it this long. I mean, my great-great-grandfather Aaron Streitz started it. He had two sons that both came into the business, Jack and Irving. Irving was my great-grandfather, and they in turn had five daughters between them. And now it's me and my two cousins that run the day-to-day operations of the business.
The company's been at the Rivington Street location since 1925. It's a four-story converted tenement?
Yeah, it's not ideal. If you were to build a new matzah factory, it's not how you would do it. It's just four tenement buildings put together, and we start on the second floor. We bring matzah flour into the basement, start produce mixing on the second floor, bake on the first, pack back on the second, make meal on the sixth. It's it's like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory of matzah.
And there were reports a few years ago that he was selling the building and moving out of New York City, but that didn't happen?
It didn't happen. We toyed around with the idea with the real estate market, how it was. It's come back to earth now, as everybody knows, and we toyed around with the idea. We did put it up for sale. We still get calls saying, I heard you sold. I heard you're not in business anymore. Supposedly, we're back on the market now, which we are not. But we're staying where we are for the foreseeable future.
If you go into a supermarket any day of the year, you're going to find matzah. Not all of that can be eaten on Passover.
Most of it cannot. We produce 11 different types of matzah during the year, from an unsalted matzah to a Mediterranean matzah. The Mediterranean matzah has sun-dried tomato, basil, garlic, and olive oil. This cannot be eaten for Passover. It's not kosher for Passover. Passover is back to the bare bones, flour, water, different types of flour. But there's really, you can't add all those other ingredients in there that you can for a daily matzah, which really is just a large cracker.
Your matzah comes in a box in flat squares. Has Streitz always made it that way?
We've always made it in the box. We've differed in the size of the box. We used to have a 2.5-pound package. We used to have two 2.5-pound packages. We put in a 5-pounder. Now we have 5 1-pound packages in a 5-pound bundle. And that's pretty common how most other companies are doing it nowadays.
And there are lines of tiny holes on each square. Why?
It would turn more into like a lavash. It would kind of blow up if you don't perforate it, if you don't put the stipples in there. And so we do that basically just to keep it flat before it goes right into the oven, gets fed into the oven.
But what about the shmur matzahs that you find in Jewish neighborhoods? They're handmade?
They're hand and machine. We have a shmur matzah actually that we do not sell retail. We actually just donate it. We donate it to local communities. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, who is our head supervising rabbi, we donate it to him in Chicago and to his congregation. And then we donate it to local areas all throughout the Lower East Side.
And you need that supervising rabbi to make sure that it's kosher?
Yeah, I mean, any kosher food business is going to hire a supervising agency to basically oversee the kashrut of the plant. We've had the Soloveitchik family on our box since 1957. It's a dynasty of rabbis, one of the most famous families in the United States. And we've had Moshe Soloveitchik, Aaron Soloveitchik's son. He's been our supervising agent since 2001. And he basically has a team of mishkikim, rabbis that oversee the day-to-day production.
So that's a family business as well.
It is, and it's a smaller. It's not the big corporate, you know, the Kufke, the OU. It's more of a smaller family organization where he basically were his primary customer.
So what is the recipe for making matzah? Is it, we're talking about just flour and water?
For Passover time, it is just flour and water. It starts, we buy our flour from Pennsylvania. There's only, I think, two mills in the United States that are producing kosher for Passover flour on a large scale where we take in 2 to 3 tractor trailers a week, which is not easy to do in Manhattan. But we bring them down, we get them down to Rivington Street, and we unload them. Either we take it in bags or we take it in the flour system, which is basically looks like a big milk truck, and we're going to blow it in through hoses into a silo in the basement of our factory. It's going to get fed into holding tanks, and we're going to mix 85 pounds of flour and about 25 pounds of water into big, huge mixing bowls, and we're going to feed that into the oven.
And how many pounds of matzah does that make?
How many pounds does that yield? Mm-hmm. It's pretty similar to the amount of flour, so 85 pounds of flour. The mm-hmm. water mostly gets all burnt off in the oven. There's probably about a 10% burn off of flour as well. But we produce about 35,000 boxes of matzah a day out of this factory here.
How many for the whole holiday? You must start months in advance.
We start usually end of October, depending on Passover. You know, it falls, it changes every year.
So 6 months in advance?
Yeah, we start.
To make enough matzah to provide all the stores with Streitz matzah?
Distributors and retailers are going to be – retailers sometimes set up in February. Distributors start taking product in early January. So we start end of October, early November.
So that also means that this product doesn't get stale very quickly.
No, matzah is probably a 2-year shelf life.
Wow.
It has a nice long shelf life. And we double wrap it too, so there's a lot of insulation.
Now, the Bible, first of all, I should tell everyone that my guest is Aaron Gross, who is a co-owner of Streitz, which makes more than matzahs, but matzah is a major product for you.
It's the foundation of our business. We're a matzah company first, and then we have about approximately 200 other items that we sell with our name on it.
The Bible says that during the exodus from slavery in Egypt, there was no time to add yeast to the bread. I guess it would have been like a pita bread or something like that. And that the women carried the dough as they traveled. The sun baked it, and it didn't rise.
Right.
Now, would I get matzah if I mix flour and water and set it out in the sun to bake?
I don't know. I think it would have to be pretty warm outside to make that happen.
I'd have to go to the Sinai Desert.
Exactly. If you do it there, you may be able to get it done. It has to be very thin to start, I'm sure. That's why we have a supervising agency to oversee our production, basically to make sure that it's done within 18 minutes. 18 is a very important number in the Jewish religion, and that's the number that's been put on for matzah baking. That also assumes that the 18 minutes won't allow the flour and water to mix to make the dough to actually rise or to have any yeast products in there.
So it's 900 degrees temperature. That's what produces the matzah in 18 minutes. But I assume some of these matzahs have to burn.
It does. The first bake that we send through in the morning when the oven is really warm, for about the first 5 minutes we're burning matzah, then it does cool down a little bit once it starts having a steady flow of product run through it. But that's the importance of having the supervising agency, just to make sure that once you mix that mixing bowl with flour and water, every time it needs to be completely clean. There can't be a speck of dough left on there. I mean, that would make it hummus, or it wouldn't be done within 18 minutes. So everything has to be clean the entire time. That's the labor-intensive part of the process.
A caller wants to know when people started eating matzah year-round.
We've been making the year-round since 1925, so I can assure you that it's been at least happening that long. I would assume I think it's more of an American thing to do, but we've been making it year-round since our inception. We used to be, Passover was probably 85% of our business, 90% of our business. Now it's a little over half. It's about 55% of the business is done for Passover and 45% the rest of the year.
What about the other Passover wheat products, matzah meal, matzah farfel, cake meal?
Everything matzah or matzah derivative item is baked in our factory.
So you have to make the matzah first, and then these things, one, right. The matzah farfel is broken up matzah.
Exactly. Farfel is just bigger chunks. You know, it's used for stuffing. If you can use it for stuffing or maybe for to throw in soup or something like that. Matzah meal is the next grade down. It's a little bit finer. It's used for matzah balls, make matzah ball soup. A lot of people use it for breading, for breadcrumbs. And then you have cake meal, which is very fine. It's ground up very fine, almost back to flour. And people can bake cakes with that.
So you're really taking a baked product, grinding it down to flour, and using it as though it were a fresh flour.
Exactly.
But it bakes up perfectly well?
It's more dense. It's a lot more dense than flour because it's not going to rise because it's already been baked once.
A listener from New York, Nancy, wants to know if Streitz is still making the soup bean mix in a cellophane tube that you
yes,
that used to
yes,
buy.
Yes, we do. We do that. That's not kosher for Passover. That's one of our year-round items, and it's a cello soup. We've actually changed that up in the last couple of years. We put it in like a little toothpaste box, but we still have it out there.
Another caller said that last year they found an illegal matzah factory, not yours, on Kent Avenue in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. He and other tenants of the building had to vacate the premises. Do you know if there are any other illegal matzah factories in New York?
I do not know. I did hear. I read about that in the news last year. I think it wasn't zoned properly, or I don't know what they were doing. I think it was more of a smaller little handmade bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a machine bakery like ours.
But that probably could have made a kosher for Passover matzah, because as long as they had a rabbi supervising and they did it the way you do it, in 18 minutes it would be okay.
Right, but you have to get it from the flour as well. You have to find supervised flour as well in order to get that process done. But there are a lot of smaller handmade bakeries throughout Williamsburg, up in Muncie, New York as well.
The Lower East Side used to be the center of Jewish culture and business in America. Hasn't the neighborhood changed a lot over the years?
No, it's changed a ton. I mean, it was the epicenter for all Jewish culture, Jewish business. I don't know the exact percentage, but I would assume a large percentage of Jews in the United States started on the Lower East Side. So for us to be there, for us to still be there, is just a great. We're holding on to it, to our history and to the culture.
Because you can make this stuff anyway. You could make it in Pennsylvania.
We can
make
it a lot
in China.
More, yeah, we can make it a lot more efficient, I'm sure, outside of our six-story tenement building on Rivington Street. But the neighborhood has changed. I mean, I grew up as a young child coming up to the neighborhood, and it was a scary place, the Lower East Side in the 70s and early 80s. And it's changed a lot, especially over the last couple of years.
Well, what's left of the old-line Jewish businesses besides Streit? There's Katz's Deli, there's Yonah Schimmel Knish's, there's Russ and Daughter's Appetizing Store. Is that about it?
That's about it.
Shapiro's Wine left.
Shapiro's Wine left, Ketam Wine left, Ratner's left. Those are all nice companies too that you said, but we're one of the last, I would assume, that's as much such large national distribution as well as international distribution.
A caller wants to know if Streit's makes gluten-free matzah.
We don't make a gluten-free. We make a spelt matzah, which is made from spelt flour, which...
That's still kosher?
It's still kosher. It's supervised flour. It's just a different grain. It may even be the grain that was used, you know, the original matzah that was made, because it's one of the older grains that we have. It's a lot older than wheat. And it's a lot of people with gluten-sensitive diets can substitute spelt. But it does have gluten in it, but it is... It can be substituted in gluten-sensitive diets many times.
Mm-hmm. And
for many people.
We're talking about for 8 days.
Right, exactly.
And after that, people can go back to totally gluten-free breads or
exactly
other things.
There is an oat matzah that is out there that another company is bringing in now that just started last year. We're looking into it as well. That's completely gluten-free.
Do you have other products that are coming out for Passover, or are you more likely to expand into the rest of the year?
No, we expand. We try to find new things here and there. We came out with an organic matzah, and the spelt matzah is 2 years old now. We're doing whole wheat matzah meal, different things like that. We're trying to really keep up with the times, trying to follow trends that are in the grocery store. We never want to get rid of our roots, and we always want to stay with what we know best. We want to try to keep up with the times and basically become a cleaner, healthier, kosher food company.
Although you never went into the wine business like Manischewitz.
No, we never. We've always had, we used to have a wine, and we still have one that's out there. A Kiddush wine and a little table red wine that somebody else is making, and it's basically just a licensing agreement that we have the Streit's name on.
Thank you so much for being with us. Aaron Gross is in the fifth generation of the Streit's family. He is the co-owner of Streit's, which right now is about to sell a lot of matzah for the next 8 days.
I hope so.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, and enjoy the holiday, and I appreciate being on your show.
Good yontif.